Testament tonight. We're going to ask you to go to the book of Numbers. Familiar portion, but sometimes I think maybe we might use it a little bit without knowing its background. Numbers chapter 32, and a verse we quote a lot. And it's okay to quote it and apply it. Sometimes we apply it to kind of to sowing and reaping and that sort of thing, and rightfully so. We apply it to somebody trying to hide their sin. And the Bible tells us there is no covering for sin outside the blood of Christ. Proverbs says, "Whoso covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whosoever confesseth and forsaketh shall have mercy." This verse here is one we quote a lot. We say, be sure your sin will find you out. That's found in verse 23 of Numbers chapter 32. I want to jump into chapter 32 and read you a little bit so we can get the background on it. And to put something on the tape up there, I don't know, short thing I could say is serious sin. That would make a title. Or maybe the sin that can't be hidden. If you can get all that on a type line up there, I don't know. Numbers 32, pick it up with me. Let's get the setting there. The tribes have come out of the wilderness now. They've had the battle for the land that God has promised them. They've gotten up to the Jordan River, and they've got to cross it because there's more land yet to be conquered on the other side. That's kind of the setting. As you understand, the children of Israel coming out of Egypt and coming into the Canaan land, coming into what God has promised them. So I want to pick it up in maybe about verse 4. You got two tribes, one of them named Reuben, one of them named Gad. And they had a very big herd of cattle with them. And picking it up in verse 4, says, "Even the country which the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel is a land for cattle. And thy servants have cattle." Now what you've got these two tribes talking to Moses. And they're making an argument here. Let us stay on this side the Jordan because the grass is good here. And let us just have this for our possession here. And that's what they're talking to Moses about now. Verses 4, 5, right on through here. "Wherefore," said they, "if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession, and bring us not over Jordan." And Moses said unto the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, "Shall your brethren go to war, and shall ye set here?" Some powerful verses here. Think on that. "Wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord hath given them." Then he gives them a story that you'll remember. Verse 8. "Thus did your fathers when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. For when they went up unto the valley of Eshcol, they saw the land. They discouraged the heart of the children of Israel that they should not go into the land which the Lord had given them." You remember the story? Giants in the land. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. Remember the song we teach the kids, you know, about the 12 spies? 10 were good and 2 were bad. Remember the story? That's what Moses reminds them of. And he said, you're about to do the same thing. You're about to bring God's anger. You're about to discourage the rest of the brethren with what you're proposing here, is what Moses was saying. Now look at it in verse 10. "And the Lord's anger was kindled the same time. And he sware, saying, surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, unto Jacob, because they have not wholly," and you ought to underline that word, wholly. It's not H-O-L-Y, but it's talking about the whole thing. Whole heart. Wholly followed me. Now, Moses is reminding them of that. And then he gives the exceptions, of course. Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord. That was the difference in the 2 and the 10, remember? And the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years, until all the generation that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was consumed. And behold, ye are risen up in your father's stead. Now he's saying, what they did, your fathers, you're about to do it again. That's what he's saying in verse 14. You're going in your father's stead, an increase of sinful men to augment yet the fierce anger of the Lord toward Israel. This is the dialogue going on between Moses and these two, the leaders of these two tribes. For if you turn away from after him, he will yet again leave them in the wilderness, and ye shall destroy all this people. Shows that God does give choices, but consequences follow the choices. To obey God brings one result. To disobey God brings another result. Verse 16, and they came near unto him and said, him is Moses here, and said, we will build sheepfolds here for our cattle and cities for our little ones, but we ourselves, we men, will go ready armed before the children of Israel until we have brought them into their place. And our little ones shall dwell in the fenced cities because of the inhabitants of the land. We will not return unto our houses until the children of Israel have inherited every man his inheritance. For we will not inherit it with them on yonder side Jordan or forward, because our inheritance is fallen to us on this side Jordan eastward. Now Moses wasn't born on, you know, just recently. He didn't come on the last load of turnips. He knows human nature. So he knows they're making a big promise, but he's not 100% sure of them. He knows if they build those houses and they get to, it comes time to go across the Jordan to battle, they may renege on him. So look what he says in verse 20. Moses said unto them, if you will do this thing, if you will go armed before the Lord to war, and will go all of you armed over Jordan before the Lord until he hath driven out his enemies from before him, and the land be subdued before the Lord, then afterward ye shall return and be guiltless before the Lord and before Israel. And this land shall be your possession before the Lord. But here's that big word, but crosses the street, opposite now. But if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. He's saying, don't think you're going to con me, and later on you're going to renege on me. It'll be sin if you do. Seer sin. You know, we recognize all sin is sin in the sense of sinners being lost. But you read through the book of Leviticus and you find out there's different punishments for different sins. So there is different levels of sin, no doubt about that. But here's a serious situation. I think a lot of things are serious today. I heard about the senior citizen that phoned her doctor's office. And she said, is it true on this medication that you gave me that I've got to take it the rest of my life? He said, I'm afraid so. She said, well, doctor, just how serious is my condition? Because I'm reading on this bottle, no refills. Sometimes, you know. Anyway, Moses is saying, if you renege on this, if you double cross me, if you turn back, be sure your sin will find you out. Now, we apply that a lot of different ways. We say a lot about it. But in the context here, it reveals what the sin was that he said, be sure your sin will find you out. It's the story of the tribes, the sin of not wanting to get into battle, not to cross the Jordan. They're on the east side of it. To cross over the Jordan and to fight the battles with the rest of the tribes on the west side, they're trying to say, we'd be satisfied right over here. This is good grazing land. We got a lot of cattle. We'd rather stay on this side. And that was what they began to argue with Moses. They were saying, we fought long enough. Look at a verse. I'm thinking it's in Exodus. Look with me in Exodus chapter 13. They're coming out of Egypt, of course, in Exodus. And God, knowing human nature, leads them out in a certain way. If you go with me to Exodus chapter 13, pick it up in verse 17. And you remember how the plagues came on Pharaoh, and finally he did let the people go. And so God is allowing Moses to lead them out. But then in verse 17 says, it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. It was nearer, shorter trip, but he didn't lead them that way. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. War is a horrible thing to see. God said it'll scare them to death if they have to fight the Philistines and they see the blood, they see what it's going to cost them over here. I won't lead them that way. He said, later on, maybe, but right now I'm going to dodge that scene. And you know what? That is a bad scene. And we recognize what we're reading and hearing in the news today, how awful it is. But God said, I'll just lead you another way. Now, you know what God wanted was to cross the Jordan and take all the land that he told them that they could have. And here was the sin that it says in the scripture, be sure your sin will find you out. What was the sin? The very sin here was to avoid the battle. The sin here was to get satisfied, settle down, take my ease, take my possessions, take my family, and quit right here. And rest right here. Stay on this side. Instead of tearing out the commandment of God to go across the river and conquer the land that was theirs, and to go as a unit, to go as a and support all of Israel and all the tribes, that he's telling this crowd, if you just sit back and take your possession and take your ease on this side of the river, it's going to be sin. Now, we don't think about that as much, maybe, as we should. The sin here was to avoid the battle, to avoid obeying God, to avoid to go on into the hardship and into the war that was going to be on the western side of the Jordan. Now let's apply it a little bit tonight. And you pray for me. I did not plan to be long, but I want you to see this principle. Do you know we can apply this principle right now? We can apply this principle to our church even. Do you know how? You know what's the downfall of some churches? As long as they're fighting in the warfare, and it is a warfare. I've never tried to cover up for my church that we are in a warfare. We're going to fight until the trumpet sounds. There's not going to be a time to sit down and take your ease and think, oh, I've got it all done. Settle down. No, no, no. Amen. There'll always be something else. Be another battle. And we can apply it to our church. In our church here in the early days, our folks saw a cause. We didn't. I've had folks ask me, did you have a vision of the school, of the radio station, of the college, or of the village? No, I had a vision of what to do tomorrow. And if you do tomorrow what you're supposed to do, and the next day what you're supposed to do, and the next day what you're supposed to do, then God is in charge of how that thing comes out. Right. All I got to do is not obey him 10 years at the time, but one day at the time, right. One step at the time. And in those early years, that's what we did here. We had a cause, and it was greater than ourselves. Boy, I believe God will have some videos in heaven, and I'm just imagining now that I'll be able to go into heaven sometime, and he'll say, what'd you like to do today, Mickey? And I'll say, let me go in the video room. I want to punch the button and see what happened in 1972. And just review. Now you say, I wouldn't be, no, but there's so much that I'm just glad God hadn't lost track of any of it. Amen. And the sacrifice, and the hard work, and all that so many people contributed to make it happen, I just don't believe God's lost that. My fear is that we can't do it again, or won't do it again, because we've got settled down on the eastern side of the Jordan, and we're more comfortable than we used to be. Well, you know, I'm older, yeah. That's some excuse, I'll admit it. But much of it is just sometimes we get tired of fighting, don't we? We get tired of looking on the war. We get tired of, we say, well, let somebody else do it. I used to do that, but I don't want to do that no more. I'm going to build me a little house on this side of the river, and I'm going to stay over here and let somebody else go on across and fight the battle over there. Now, folks, that's what can happen to our church. We are in a warfare. We had a warfare from the beginning. I remember when it was a warfare to get the bus ministry started. Boy, I could tell you bus stories you wouldn't believe. We had a young couple in the church at the time I came here. They were doing a little bit of janitorial work, and they had two little boys growing up, I don't know, 6, 7 years old. And I bought the first bus and later another bus, and with my own hands, I got out there and filled the rusty spots and painted it and got them painted up. They were really new buses. That was in 1971, and the first one I bought was a 1949 Chevrolet. Had to hold it in gear. Second one I bought was a newer bus. It was a 1950 Chevrolet. But I patched them up and I painted them. And one day I was around the church building, and the young man that was doing some janitorial work had his boys up here. And one of the boys ran up to me and said, "Preacher," and he told on his brother. He squealed on his brother. And I won't use his name, but he said, "He's down there punching holes in your bus with his finger." And I ran around the corner and looked, and he sure was. Now, the paint looked good till you put any pressure on it. It was sort of like tissue. You could poke right through it. Now, you say, well, what about it? Well, we ran those buses. It was a struggle to buy them. It was a struggle to fix them. It was a warfare to keep them going. But bless God, that's what got the job done. And no, it wasn't easy. We wish we could have done better. We wish we could have bought new buses when it come time to start the school. And when it come time to give the missions, all of that was a struggle. But we saw the need, and we were not afraid to cross the Jordan and fight the battles on that side. We got soul winning going, and we got things happening. And yeah, it was a struggle. But in that struggle, we were in God's will, doing what God wanted, and not worrying about whether or not we were feathering our own nest, whether or not we were getting comfortable, whether... I could tell you stories all night. I remember I was driving an old black 70 model Ford. I bought it used, but it was a good car, one of the best I ever had. And I'm a little bit of a mechanic, or I was on the old stuff, not on the new stuff. And the exhaust manifold was leaking on that old Ford. Now, I know I'm talking science to some of you. But how many of you know what it sounds like under the hood when the exhaust manifold is leaking? It's just, you know, just aggravating sound. For several months, if not a year, I kept promising myself, I'm going to take time to fix that thing. But I literally stayed so busy for the Lord, I just couldn't do it. I just couldn't stop, and I couldn't do it, and I didn't do it. And I'd go the thing, and you'd go down the road. It wasn't skipping, but it sounded like it was skipping. Just chip, 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 chip. That exhaust leaked out of it. Then one day I stopped in at my brother's place up there, and we were talking, and he said, "What's the matter with that thing? I heard it coming down the road," and I thought, it's about time to fix it. So I went in the trunk where I carried my tools. I got the tools out, and you know what? I fixed that thing in about 15 minutes, and I wondered how come I hadn't done that before. The truth of the matter was, I didn't think I had time. I was just pushing all the time, pushing along. And the truth is, that's the way we got into it. That's the way we got into supporting missions and sending missionaries. And many of you remember all of those days when we did that. And then I asked the question, what's happened? Too many folks are camping out on the wrong side of the river now. Too many folks are on the eastern side of the river, and they don't want to cross over. They've had some bloody battles on this side, and they will let somebody else cross the river. Let somebody else do it. And God says, and he tells these tribes of Reuben and Gad here, it's a sin if you do that. If you don't keep on in the battle, if you don't keep on going like you're supposed to, he said, be sure your sin will find you out. Moses said, you can't hide it from me. I'll know about it. I think today there's a verse in Galatians that always comes to my mind. It's in Galatians chapter 5, a couple of verses, maybe verse 7 and 8. Listen to it as Paul rebukes the church at Galatia. He says to them in verse 7 of Galatians 5, listen to it close. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? See, the Galatians started good in the grace of God, but then all of a sudden they were about to mix law with it again. The Judaizers had come in and had a bunch of folks mixed up. And Paul said, you did run well. You were doing good. Who did hinder you? And let me say to you, there were some there in that, going into that assembly that was mixing them up. But you know who hinders us the most? We're the who. You go look in the mirror. We're the who. And the truth of the matter is, if we're not careful, the devil knows about us. He knows about our ego. He knows about our weak spots. And he will be the one that will find a way to hinder us every time. Personally, not only am I thinking about the church, I guess one of the biggest examples we're seeing in the news today is quitting on the wrong side of Jordan. We quit on the wrong side of Iraq, didn't we? We went over there and lost limbs and lives and then cleared out instead of finishing the job. That's one of the big examples we could say in our nation. But we can see in our church, we'd make that same mistake. And then I can see in our personal lives, if we're not careful, we'd make the same mistake. We can find us a place of comfort to camp out and say, I've got mine now, don't worry about anybody else. Do you know the truth is, that's wonderful if you've got your family saved. It's wonderful if you've got your kids saved. That's great. But you ought to care about somebody else's that's not saved. And some other family that needs to be reached. And somebody else that needs to hear the gospel. And some missionary that needs to get to the field to take the gospel someplace else. Oh yeah, we can't quit. We got to cross the Jordan. We got to keep going. Let's not be hindered. It's easy to get hindered. Who or what hindered us? Well, we know the devil. But what does the devil use? He uses things he knows will work on you. And he does know. You know what? Let me ask you, some of you men especially, and you ladies, because you work in the kitchen, you burn your finger every now and then or something. How many of you men ever hurt your finger, hurt your hand? You got a sore spot on you. Have you ever noticed how that every time you turn around, you bump it? Have you ever noticed that? Now, you know, before it was sore, you didn't notice. You probably hit the same things with it. But once the sore spot got on it, brother, you know it every time you bump it, don't you? That happens to me. It happens to everybody. Do you understand what the devil loves to do? He loves to give you a sore spot. A sore spot. He knows where to make it sore. He knows your little ego will be hurt over this or hurt over that. And he'll make a sore spot right there. And then guess what he'll do? He'll make sure somebody bumps into it. So you can blame him. Amen. Oh, listen, I stood up here for 43 years and preached. And try my best to preach the Word of God. Try my best to never think about that I'm shooting at somebody in particular. I try to be honest with God on that. But I want to say to you, if you preach the book and somebody's got a sore spot, it's going to hit them. It'll hit them. That's all there is to it. And they'll say, that preacher was thinking about me. Well, he might not even have the foggiest idea about your sore spot. But the Holy Spirit does and the devil does. And it's going to get hit. I guarantee you, you're going to bump it. That's all there is to it. You're going to feel some pain from it. Well, somebody didn't smile at me. Somebody walked by and didn't shake hands at me. Somebody said this. They must have been talking about me. Oh, grow up. Get over that childish stuff. Get over that foolishness. Because if you don't, you're camping on the wrong side of the river. You're not in the battle God wants you to be on. You're standing, you're back over here trying to build all your feather your nest and build your comfort zone and quit before God said quit. And that's trouble that'll find you out. It's a sin that will find you out. No doubt about it. Some little old sore spot, some little old offense. Sad truth is, it happens. It happens. I want to say this. The sin that will find you out, and when Moses tells them the sin will find you out, he's telling them that sin that I don't know about is going to cost you. There's going to be a price on it. It's going to cost you. It's going to hurt you. You won't hide it. You can't sweep it on the rug. You can't pretend you didn't do it. You camp out over here and you get comfortable and you get all your possessions and your family around and you build you some houses and you say, well, I've got mine, bless God. Let them take care of it on the other side. But you see, the folks on the other side helped you win what you got on this side. Understand? Now you got an obligation to stay in the warfare. Now we make spiritual application on that. None of us grew in our spiritual life without some help from somebody. God used somebody to help me, and I could stand here and give you all kind of examples and names. Then if somebody helped me, then I'm obligated to help somebody else. And so are you. And the warfare, you say, well, I tried to help them and it didn't work. Well, you don't know till the game's over. Might have done more good than you thought. But one thing about it, God says, keep trying. Keep trying. Keep trying. Amen. You don't quit. You don't camp out over here on the eastern side of the river. You stay in the warfare. That's what he's saying to us. And the sin that will find you out will cost you much. I say this to you as parents. Some of you have already had this experience, and if you hadn't, you will. Please don't think you have arrived and camp out on the eastern side of the river just because you've raised your kids up and got them in Christian school and got them in church and they're doing pretty good. Let me tell you, I've seen 13 and 14 year old kids flip overnight, almost change almost overnight. All of a sudden, mom and dad thought that that'll never happen to my kid, but it did, and it will awful quick sometime. If they ever needed you, they need you all the way, as far as you can go with them. Cross the river with them. Stay in the battle with them. Don't say, okay, I've arrived. I can sit back and rest and everything will be fine. No, it won't. No, it won't. They still need you. Still need you to stay in the battle with them. It'll be costly. It'll be costly if you drop out. Refusing to stay in the battle is what the sin is. Let me give you an example. You know this one. How about King David? Didn't he struggle? Didn't he win the wars? Didn't he do the job? Didn't he get the kingdom established? I mean, he really fought. But one day he sat down on the wrong side of Jordan. One day, the Bible says, when kings went to war, David didn't go. Remember? He stayed home. He looked, he lusted, he took, and he finally killed. What was the problem? Well, you know, the current statement in the world is idle time is the devil's workshop. Okay, David was where he wasn't supposed to be. He was camped on the wrong side of the river. And the truth is, that's where he got in trouble. That's where the devil slipped up, and that's where the devil made him fall. No doubt about it. He was home in the time of war. You know, the truth is, the need is just as great as it was when this church started. In a lot of ways, it's greater, because the enemy is bigger. He's more clever. He's got more tools to use. And folks, we just can't camp out on the east side of Jordan. We got to keep going. We got some battles yet to fight. We got much more land, as it were, to conquer. That's what I'm trying to say to you tonight. I'm saying let's don't quit. You say, well, preacher, what is it? Well, the same battles we fought earlier, we still got to fight them. you understand, from the very beginning, I had to fight to lead the church to fight a budget battle. So what do you mean? I mean pay the bills. Do you know what I'm still doing today? I'm still in that warfare. I'm still in that warfare. And one of the hardest things, and I don't have seem like wisdom enough to do it, is to communicate to you that the need right now is just like it was when I was raising money to buy the first bus. Say, no. Oh, yeah, it's just a bigger scale. In fact, a more serious scale. Amen. Yeah, still struggling. Sometimes somebody will come to me and say, well, do we need to buy this or we need to do that? And I'm proud of that and thank God for it. But at the same time, if you ever got any money that you don't know what to do with, give it to the church, because we've already probably got it spent. to make the budget. Amen? Don't ever think, say, well, the church must have enough. Preacher hadn't been hollering about it lately. Oh, listen, I've hollered every kind of way about it I know how in 43 years, and if you've got a better way, let me know it. To express the need is always there. The challenge is always there. Brother Baker's back there. He's going to count the money in the morning. And then he don't want to see me. Last week he come in and he said, it's terrible, preacher. And it was. Look in the bulletin. We went $10,000 below the budget last week. Say, well, what does that mean? Well, it just means like we took $10,000 and spent on something. That's what it means. So you know what I'm praying for today? That we'll go $10,000 over to make up for last week. And if we do, it'll look good, but it'll only make up for last week. That's the battle I've been in for 43 years. Hadn't changed. Don't camp on the east side of the river with me. Get in the battle. If you used to give sacrificially, do it again. If you used to give a little extra, do it again. We need it just as bad. We need you to cross on over the river because there's a challenge on the other side. There's a warfare over there waiting on us. And don't commit the sin of refusing to stay in the battle. I'll tell you what, we still fight the battle of the budget. We fight the battle of trying to get souls saved. We fight all the battles we've always fought. And they're still out there. Don't back up from them. They're still enemies. Don't camp out on the safe side of the river. Cross on over and let's keep going for the cause of Christ. Amen? You know, settling down, collecting your possessions, being comfortable. I'm going to be, well, this is true, and I think most of you admit it. We have a lot of folks that come to Florida and retire or semi-retire. I've seen men right here live here in the area. I've seen them work hard and finally make a decision to retire. And I'm not fussing about it. Sure sounds good. But it may not be as good as it sounds. How many of you admit in your heart you've known somebody that retired and in a little while they were dead? Amen. Amen. Folks, we are creatures that need a purpose. We need a cause. We need a flag to follow. We just the worst thing in the world sometimes is to sit down and do nothing. I had one wife say to me, she said, the worst thing in the world happened when he retired. I said, what was that? She said, he's been underfoot ever since. They're having a rough time in their marriage. But as long as he got up and left home and come in at night, everything was fine. But she's seeing too much of him. It wasn't working. And I don't know if he's still alive or not. But in all honesty, we're made to need, we need a challenge. We need to keep going. We got a cause we're involved in. We're in a warfare. Don't lay down your sword too quick. Amen. Give up and quit too quick. I guarantee you there's something to that. It really is. And then you know what? When the devil catches you like David when he should have been at war, lazing around on his couch looking out his window, you know what? It can happen to the best. David was the best. He was a man after God's own heart. It was he was one of God's champions. If it can happen to him, it can happen to others. I had a thought come to me a while ago just before I got here, stepped up in the pulpit, and I asked Brother Cruz about a certain song in the book, and he found it for me. I thought I remembered the man that wrote the song. His name was Robert Robinson, and he wrote the song, Come Thy Fount of Every Blessing. In that song, he has a line that says, prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Now think about it. Here was a man that was a preacher. Here was a man that did a great job for God. And he did it for years. And then he kind of thought he arrived. And he kind of cut back. And he got comfortable, and he camped on the eastward side of Jordan. He camped in the wrong place. And he done just what he said in the song. He began to wonder. Prone to wonder. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. And there was a preacher that wrote a song that's been so helpful to me and helpful to so many people. And we still got it in our songbook and we still sing it. But he wound up on the shelf. He went into bad doctrine. And they say he died as a Unitarian. For you Bible students that know how bad off, how far that strayed from the Baptist doctrine that he held. I want to tell you something. We all better be careful. And the most dangerous place you can do is retire and camp out on God before he says you're through. If he's got something else for us to do, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's keep on. You may not do it as good as you did. You may not do it as fast as you did. You may not have the strength to do it like you once did. But what can you do? Keep on doing it. Keep on doing it. And I'm talking to myself tonight, as well as you. I don't want to look back and say, I stopped short of the goal. I wouldn't cross the river. God had something else for me, but I just said, this is good grassland. I'll camp out here. That's a dangerous thing to do. Tonight, the message has not been to the lost, but it's been to us believers that can get so tricked and satisfied and settle down where we were not supposed to and lose a lot of what we had with God. And God says, if you do it, be sure your sin will find you out. It'll cost you. It'll cost you.